but that'll take months. And I just don't have that kind of time right now.
How are you making them so fast? Peg asked.
I may not know much about enchanting, but I know enough to know that these shields should take months to make.
Family secret, Sean said with a smile.
No wonder they're all afraid of you, Peg said and smiled back at him. You're their worst nightmare, a lichen who knows magic better than they do.
Thanks, Sean said, taking a closer look at Peg. When she smiled, she really did look happy, for perhaps the first time since he'd seen her. She really was a very attractive young woman, and she was definitely dressed today to show off those looks. Her vixen must have finally gotten her to relax. He wondered which of the wolves upstairs she was dressing up for.
You look a lot happier today, Sean told her. It's so nice to finally see you smile.
Peg blushed again.
You like my smile?
Sean nodded.
You're very pretty when you smile. I admit that I've been worried about you. You lost so much so fast. I know it couldn't have been easy.
Peg gave a little sigh and nodded.
Yeah, but that's in the past now. I know I'm not the only one here who's had it rough. I could have died back there and you saved me. I'm very grateful, Sean. Thank you.
Sean tried not to blush.
Actually, Sheila is the one who saved you, Sean pointed out.
And I've thanked her too,
Peg grinned.
But she told me that she would never have bitten me if you hadn't told her to. And even if someone had the magic to save me, I'd have been terribly scarred from that second whip.
Peg shivered and Sean went over to her and took her hand.
It's in the past now, he reminded her.
Peg nodded and smiled.
And because I don't have any scars from it, it's been a lot easier to let it go.
Well, you are a fox now, Sean pointed out.
Why, Sean, was that a compliment on my looks?
Peg teased, standing up and doing a little twirl for him.
Sean felt his face go red because, yeah, Peg was a fox in the looks department, all right. Especially with the way she was dressed right now, and with that red hair of hers, that soft and slender build of hers, she even looked every part the vixen.
Yes, you're very beautiful, Sean admitted. But I was commenting on your now being one of us, a lichen.
A lichen who can use magic,
Peg corrected him.
I did a little experimenting yesterday, and I discovered that I've got a lot more power now. I'd heard the rumors, but I had no idea that they were true.
Sean nodded.
They are. But you have to be careful. That same power is what you use to shift forms now, as well as what your body uses to regenerate injuries. If you use up all of your magic, you won't be able to shift until it refreshes.
That doesn't sound too bad,
Peg said.
If you're injured, it can be very bad, Sean sighed.
Peg looked at him, concerned.
Why?
Your body will start to use your life force to heal itself. It'll start eating itself effectively, and you'll die.
What? How does that even happen?
Sean shook his head.
I don't know yet. If you normally take too much damage, you stop healing. But if you've used up all of your energy because of magic, it's like some sort of line is crossed and everything goes crazy.
Wow. Thanks for warning me,
Peg said, and putting her arms around him, she hugged him rather tight and kissed him. Blinking in surprise, Sean hugged her back, but he didn't return the kiss.
Can I come down here and watch you work?
Peg asked, smiling up at him.
Sure, Sean nodded. I don't mind.
Thanks,
she said, and gave him another hug. Then, releasing him, she walked out the door, and Sean couldn't help but watch her strut in those snug pants as she left the workshop. He guessed that she really had come to terms with what had happened to her.
Was that Peg?
Jolene asked, coming down into the workshop as Sean was just getting ready to leave. Sean nodded.
Yeah, she came down and wanted to talk a little.
She looked pretty happy, Jolene grinned. What did you do to her?
Sean sighed and rolled his eyes. Nothing. But you're right, she was happy.
I think she's finally put what happened to her behind her and is moving on with her life. I also wonder if her vixen going and hanging out with the wolves for a day helped. Jolene snickered. Yeah, they'd be all over her like white on rice. I know Sheila has been taking full advantage of the 2-to-1 male ratio. Well, she was trained to do that sort of thing, Sean sighed. That may be, but she really does seem to love her work. Not unlike a certain tantric witch I know, Sean teased. Hey, when you got it, flaunt it, Jolene laughed. And I definitely got it. You most certainly do, Sean agreed, pulling her over and giving her a kiss. We need to go upstairs. Rox and Day are waiting in the van. We need to go to Chat's, Jolene reminded him. Sean grumbled. He had both of his hands full of that nice round butt of hers.
There's always tonight, hon, she reminded him.
Okay, okay, Sean sighed, and releasing her butt, he took her hand and they went upstairs and joined the others in the van.
I'm starting to worry about you two, Roxy teased.
Sean eyed the back of the van.
Well, you know.
We'll be there in a few minutes, Sean, Daylan warned.
Aw, what's got you going?
Roxy teased.
Peg paid him a visit.
I think she got his motor running, Jolene said.
Lining up another one?
Sean shook his head. I suspect she's been checking out the wolves. At least that was her vixen's intentions last I talked to her.
I'm surprised he hasn't grabbed Sheila,
Daylan said from the driver's seat.
She's a nice girl, Sean sighed.
But all of her skills revolve around sex, and not much else.
So?
I'm not that shallow.
That's true, you do go pretty deep.
Daylan snickered as Sean just groaned and facepalmed.
And we're here,
Roxy called out as the van stopped.
Thanks. I don't know how much more of that I could take, Sean grumbled. No, you love it, and you know you do, Jolene laughed. I'm just a simple boy who grew up in a simple home is all, Sean sighed.
Yep,
Roxy agreed,
with 3 wives and a hell of a guilty conscience.
4,
Jolene said.
Don't go forgetting Roberta now.
Oh, right, his baby mama,
Roxy laughed.
How could I forget poor Roberta?
Turning a bright red, Sean opened the door and got out of the van. Laughing, Roxy, Jolene, and Daylan got out of the van behind him, and they all walked up to Chad's house, and knocking on the door, they were shown in by a rather attractive young woman.
Ah, Sean, Rox, Joe, and Day, glad to see you can make it.
Chad waved from the dining room table, on which he had what looked like a couple of maps spread.
Who's your friend?
Roxy asked.
Oh, sorry, Chad blushed. Rox, Joe, Day, Sean, this is Maxine, or Max for short.
Sean and the others shook hands with Max and exchanged greetings. So, Sean asked, coming over to the table, where'd she come from?
Oh, Claudia gave her to me,
Chad said, and winked.
She's a gift, sort of a reward for taking over the Western Pack.
My mother did not give me to you as a gift,
Max sighed and smacked Chad on the butt as she walked by him and into the kitchen.
Claudia's her mom?
Roxy asked, looking into the kitchen where Max was checking on something in the oven.
Yup, Chad said. She's here to help me with learning all of the rules and the laws governing the packs. Truth is,
Chad looked towards the kitchen and raised his voice just a little as he grinned.
Max just couldn't keep her eyes off of me, so her mother felt sorry for her and sent her home with me.
Actually,
Max raised her voice from the kitchen.
He was pining after me so much after we met that my mom was afraid he'd wither away and die if I didn't go home with him.
I was simply being gracious to Claudia for bringing such a nice peace offering, Chad countered.
Oh, and whose idea was it that I should help teach you about pack customs?
Max replied, laughing as she came back into the room.
And who agreed so quickly that your mom choked on her drink?
Chad grinned.
Somebody needs to keep you out of trouble,
Max said, and sidled up next to Chad, who put an arm around her. Sean was rather surprised by just how comfortable they seemed with each other.
When's the wedding?
Roxy asked.
We're waiting to see if we don't kill each other first, Chad chuckled.
My mom's been pushing me to find a nice guy to settle down with for a while now, Max admitted. And when we hit it off, well, I think she was a bit surprised at how fast things progressed. And here I thought you were going to tell me it was a wolf thing, Dalen said.
More of a gaming thing, actually, Chad said. We're in the same guild in an online game. I just never expressed an interest in her because I was seeing someone.
And I knew he wasn't a wolf, so I didn't either, Max finished.
Sean blinked.
You're that, Max?
Max looked at Sean, curious.
He's Sean 256, Chad told her.
Max's eyes got wide.
Really? Wow, I had no idea.
Sean 256?
Roxy asked.
There are a lot of guys named Sean in the game, Sean told her.
Small world.
Yup, Chad nodded. Now let's go over the plans. As I understand it, your first goal is still to free all the Lycans, right?
Sean nodded.
Part of me still wants to go after Harkins for all of the shit he's pulled on me, as well as what he's been doing to the Lycans there. But I figure right now that can wait until later. My first goal is the Lycans who are still under his control. We know that they're expecting us, and I'm sure Harkins has figured out some way to force them to fight us.
Well, I'll go visit Sawyer tomorrow, Chad said. Joe, if you want to join us, you're more than welcome. We'll see what intel he has for us and what we can do to get more. Now, let me show you what I've got so far, what I think we'll need, and you can tell me what you've got for us, Chad said. Then we can have dinner and start making some phone calls.
Sounds good, Sean agreed.
Sal looked through the website that he'd gotten from Sawyer. There had been a large Come Back Soon banner on the page last night. This morning, there'd been a registration screen and not much else. Registering had been a bit of a pain. They actually wanted either your banking information or a high-limit credit card. There was definitely a lot of all sales are final verbiage on the page, as well as more than a few legal threats for winning bidders who didn't pay. Sal got through all of that quickly. He had a black Amex card, after all, so he wasn't too worried about any kind of credit limits. When he finally got past that part, he was given another link on the site, along with a password. Going there and logging in, he saw that there was a clock counting down and 7 tags up for bid.
7? Sal couldn't believe it. He'd bought enchanted items before. He was familiar with the costs and the production issues. He'd put $100,000 bids on 2 of them immediately, with $500,000 maximums on both. He read up on the information about the product. It didn't go into too much detail as to how it worked, but there was enough that Sal knew it worked the same as the amulet he'd gotten 12 years ago. But there was a difference with these. You needed a Lycan collar to go with it. The collar was part of the package you were buying. But Sal found that curious. Of course, the amulet he'd gotten had only been necessary on 2 different occasions in his life. Neither of those had involved all that much silver, but it had set his clothes on fire the 2nd time, so he'd learned that the amulet had limits. Maybe the kid had figured out a way to deal with that? Just then his phone rang. Sal here, he answered.
Rob Walters from the Journal, the voice on the other end of the line said. I came across something in our financial section I thought you might find interesting.
Well, it cost me, Sal grumbled.
$5,000?
If I think it's good, Sal told the man.
He was one of the contacts Tony had given him. A little pricey, but very reliable, Tony had told him.
A Mr. Sean Valens bought a building in Sparks just recently. Is that good?
Sal sat up and grabbed a pen.
You got a deal. What's the address?
Sal wrote down the address and almost swore out loud. It was just a short way down the block from the auto shop that the Bryces owned. He made arrangements to meet the guy and give him the cash. After that, he'd go cruise by the building and see about setting up some sort of watch. It was late now, after 10, so he couldn't stop or he'd stand out. But tomorrow he'd see about setting up some sort of surveillance.
Wednesday. Sean was in his workshop while Chad, Max, and Jolene went in search of intel so Chad could finish up the plan. Roxy was talking with her father about getting help from the other Lycans, not that they needed all that much at this point, and Dalen had gone off to talk to her Uncle Samus for the same reason. So Sean had figured he'd come down here and work on his machine for a while. The assault was planned for late tonight, sometime after midnight, when everyone was most likely to be in their beds and asleep. Sean wasn't thrilled with the party they'd crashed last time, even though it had all worked out for the best. He was just starting to prep the first set of spells to put on the plate when Peg showed up carrying a large box.
"Hi, Peg. What's up?" Sean asked.
"Oak asked me to bring this down. Said you'd ordered it."
"What is it?" Sean asked, coming over.
"I don't know, but it's pretty damn heavy,"
Peg said, and set it down on the floor. When she set the box down, Sean noticed that she was wearing a t-shirt that was almost see-through, and a pair of tight jeans that encased her nice tight butt like a second skin, running all the way down to the 3-inch heels she was wearing. Peg was definitely dressing to impress somebody. Sean almost felt bad for her getting waylaid by Oak to do delivery duty in those heels, when she obviously had her sights set on somebody.
"Thanks,"
Sean said, and coming over, he kneeled down and opened the box. Inside were 12 10-inch-tall metal slugs that were vaguely owl-shaped. The entire box had to weigh close to 250 pounds, and Peg had carried it down here by herself. Even for a fox like him, that was a lot of weight. Maybe he'd have a word with Oak later on.
"What are those?"
Peg asked, bending over and giving Sean a rather nice view down her t-shirt. Peg was definitely put together very well, Sean noticed, and then looked up at her face. She was smiling at him.
"They're for making batteries."
"Batteries? The magical kind?" she asked.
Sean nodded.
"Yeah, I got my hands on a big one like this earlier so I could copy it, but I'm going to need to borrow it again before I can make the copies."
"Why?"
Peg asked, curious. Sean sighed, wondering how much to tell her.
"Family secret?"
Peg asked, grinning. Sean noticed she hadn't changed her position, giving him a nice, unobstructed view of that very nice chest of hers. Then again, he hadn't moved either.
"Yeah, pretty much."
"So you need the object here to copy it?"
Sean shook his head.
"No. I need the battery here because I need some place to dump any excess magical energy so I don't fry myself."
Peg cocked her head to the side and looked at him puzzled.
"Why don't you just dump it to ground?"
"What?"
Sean asked, staring at her and totally forgetting the tempting display of her breasts.
"Dump it to ground. Don't you have a grounding rod in here somewhere?"
"A what?"
Sean asked.
"A grounding rod."
"What the hell is a grounding rod?"
Now it was Peg's turn to look confused.
"Didn't anyone teach you about grounding?"
Sean shook his head.
"No one taught me anything. Everything I know I either learned from books or figured out on my own."
Peg's eyes got really wide, and all she could think about was that he was self-taught, and he was this powerful.
"Okay,"
Peg said.
"A grounding rod is just that. It's a rod, usually made of one of the better metals, though copper, gold, or silver work best, just like with electricity, driven into the ground, say about 6 feet deep. You dump any excess magical energy into it, and the earth just sucks it up."
"You can ground magic to earth?"
Sean said, dumbfounded.
Peg nodded.
"Of course you can. You won't get it back, of course, but the ground is full of magic. Where do you think the ley lines get it from?"
"I had no idea," Sean said, shaking his head.
Standing up, he went over to the phone and, picking it up, he dialed Oak's office.
"Oak speaking."
"It's Sean. I need a 6-foot-long heavy copper rod, a sledgehammer, and I guess something to cut a hole in the floor down here so I can drive it through."
"Sure thing, boss. I'll get right on it."
"Thanks for sending Peg down with the stuff."
"Eh, she volunteered, so I let her handle it."
"Oh, thanks,"
Sean hung up and turned slowly to look at Peg, who was looking at the metal pieces.
So, just how does this work, anyways?
She asked.
The enchanting?
Peg nodded.
I don't really have any talent for it. No one in my family ever did. But I've watched people do it on simple stuff. Takes them hours just to do a simple trinket.
Well, when Oak sends someone down here with a copper rod and a sledgehammer so I can drive it into the ground, I'll show you. Sean looked around the room a moment and had a thought.
Can I just use the pipes in the room?
Sean asked and motioned towards the ceiling.
If you're desperate, you could, but I wouldn't recommend it,
Peg told him.
Magical energy can be pretty unpredictable. It won't always take the shortest path to ground, and you could end up zapping someone.
Sean nodded and watched her. There were only two reasons he could think of for why she would have wanted to carry that heavy load all of the way down here. Only one of those required her getting dressed up like that.
Where do you get the energy from? I mean, I know we have more now that we're Lycans, but making something like this,
she fingered the tag on her collar,
has to take way more than we have.
You're right, it does, Sean said, coming over and standing next to her, smiling down at her. For the first time he noticed that she only came up to his nose, and that she smelled really good. Peg looked up at him and blushed, smiling a little shyly. Thanks for telling me about the grounding rod, Sean said, and put his hands on her shoulders. Is that something they taught you? Peg nodded.
We had all sorts of magical training. I'm surprised Jolene didn't teach you about it.
Jo's a tantric witch. Her magic is a lot different than ours.
Oh,
Peg said, and put her hands on his chest.
Well, I'd be more than happy to show you everything.
She winked. I think I'd like that, Sean said, and was just about to bend down to kiss her when someone knocked on the door, then opened it and came inside.
Damn it,
Peg swore softly. Hold that thought, Sean grinned, then turned to the guy who'd entered the room. It was one of his werewolves. They were carrying a long copper pipe, a sledgehammer, and behind him was another one of his werewolves with a large drill.
Hey, boss, Oak says you need a hole drilled in the floor?
Sean looked around and pointed to a spot next to where he would be setting up his chair the next time he had to make stuff. The guy with the drill quickly went over and started in on the spot. It didn't take them all that long to get through the concrete. Apparently it wasn't all that thick. Sean found it interesting that the guys were checking out Peg, who looked incredibly hot in the tight jeans and thin t-shirt, and that each time they did, she moved a little closer to him. After about the fifth time, she was leaning into him just a little bit, where her hip touched his. And when they looked at her that time, and then looked at him, he just smiled and gave his head a little shake. They didn't look at her again. When the hole was finished, Sean took the pipe and dismissed them, and using the hammer, it didn't take him all that long to drive it down until only a foot of it was sticking up through the floor.
How much energy do you think I can dump through that? Sean asked.
I'd expect quite a lot,
Peg said. Sean looked at it and nodded.
Help me set this up,
he told her, and moving a table over to where the seat was, he put one of the owl-like slugs on it. Then he had Peg lay out a bunch of collars on one side, while he moved Dalen's silver spool device over by the chair and plugged it in.
That's a lot of tags and collars,
Peg said, looking at the boxes stacked against the wall.
Yep, Sean agreed.
What are you doing?
Peg asked him, as he then started to strip naked.
I don't want to set my clothes on fire, Sean told her. The last few times I did this, I was in hybrid form, but I might as well see how it works in human.
Sean noticed she was eyeing him over rather closely as he dropped his clothing on one of the tables out of range of the work. He had to smile. Only a month ago, he'd be feeling rather self-conscious stripping nude in front of a lovely woman. Now he was used to it.
Here's how it works, he told her. I'm going to use the energy generated by the shield changing the silver, which I will then use to run the spell to enchant the owl there into a battery. The problem is, at some point, I'll get a bunch of energy back.
I'll bleed some of it off into making those collars there. After I make them, then I'll put what comes back from that into the grounding rod. If that works, everything is fine. If not, I'll use it on that other group of collars. Now, don't get too close. I don't want to set you on fire. Peg nodded and watched. Sean made one last check of everything, then calling up his monitor program, he turned the encryption off on the silver tag, made the two changes to the program, and pressed the foot switch. As the magical energy quickly built, he put one hand on the metal owl and tripped the tar program and untarred the owl archive into the metal owl, and it quickly changed as the program ran. Sean wasn't sure about the power requirements of making one of the larger batteries, but he figured it was somewhere between 3,000 and 4,000 watts. Because there wouldn't be a change in metal, he would get about a third of that back. He'd feed a little more of his own power and use it to make two necklaces, then take the rebound from that and dump it into the grounding bar. He figured that would be a good test. Sure enough, the returning energy from the owl battery was almost enough to make two necklaces. Adding his own power caused that to work just fine. And when he got the rebound from that, he fed it into the grounding rod and was surprised at how quickly the extra energy dissipated.
"Wow! It worked!" Sean said, looking down at the rod.
"I can't believe you did that," Peg said.
"Huh?"
Sean looked up at Peg, and she came over and picked up the battery, which now looked exactly like the one back at the guild.
"You made this. I saw it. It took you like 20 seconds.
"Hand me another one. I want to try and dump a bit more energy through the rod," Sean told her. Peg quickly grabbed another one and set it on the table. Sean hit the switch, fed more power through his tag, and untarred the owl archive a second time. This time, when the rebounded energy came, he just dumped it all into the grounding rod. Again, there wasn't any problems at all.
"Awesome! Now I have something I can use if anything goes wrong."
Sean smiled, and setting his tag back to normal function, he turned the encryption back on and stood up.
"You're a genius,"
Peg said, walking up to him and hugging him. Sean smiled down at her. "Thanks for telling me about the grounding rod."
"Isn't this where we left off last time?"
Peg asked, blushing a little. "Almost. This time I'm naked." Sean grinned, and bending down, he kissed her while putting his arms around her and pulling her body against his. He had to admit she felt good against him, and he bet she'd feel even better when he got her out of those clothes. Breaking the kiss, he grabbed the bottom of her t-shirt and pulled it up over her head and then tossed it to the side. She really had lovely breasts, and he appreciated the view all the more now that there was nothing in the way. Kissing her again, he started to work his way down her neck, then going lower until he worked his way down between her breasts. Grabbing her by the waist, he hoisted her up and set her on the edge of one of the tables, and then started to kiss, lick, and nibble at her firm chest, attacking first one nipple, then the other, while using a hand to massage the other one. Peg was breathing rather heavily by now, running her fingers through his hair and watching him with heavy-lidded eyes. When Sean started to work his way down her flat stomach, she just gasped and held on tight to his hair. Sean could smell her excitement, so pushing her farther back on the table, he unzipped her jeans, then rolling them down over her hips, he peeled her out of the tight pants, turning them inside out as he slowly pulled them down off of her legs. She had lost the heels at some point, so the pants came off of her feet easily. Climbing up onto the table between Peg's spread legs, Sean was a little surprised when she took his hand and urged him up to cover her, reaching down with her other hand to guide him into her.
"Make me yours, Sean," she whispered in his ear as he moved to enter her.
"Is that what you want?" he whispered back and nibbled at her left earlobe.
"Yes,"
Peg panted.
"I want the best. I want you, no one else. Please. Make me yours."
"Good, because that's exactly what I'm going to do," Sean replied, and moving his mouth to hers, he entered her fully. He was shocked at how ready she was. Clearly she wanted him, and was more than ready for him to take her,
He didn't know why, and right now he didn't care. She wanted to be his, and he found he wanted her, too. Questions could wait. Driving himself into her, he started in on a nice, easy rhythm as her legs wrapped around his hips, and she ground her body up against him. Bracing his arms so as not to press heavily down on her, they kissed slowly and passionately as they moved against each other, as Sean worked his way in and out of her body. She may have been a couple of years younger than his other loves, but she was by no means inexperienced, he quickly found. Dropping his weight to his elbows, he curled his arms under her, to hold her as he made love to her. Rubbing the side of his face against hers, nibbling and licking at her ear and enjoying the wonderful response that elicited from her. It wasn't long until he felt that familiar pressure coming from his own loins, and from the sounds Peg was making as she laid beneath him, eyes closed and gasping. He didn't think she would be much longer at this point either. When she finally squeezed down on him tightly and hit her pleasure, Sean could hold back no more himself, and he emptied himself deep inside her, while she moaned and shivered beneath him on the table. They cuddled then for a little while and enjoyed the afterglow, as Sean let his hands slowly explore her body, her face, all of her, as he tried to commit all of her to his memory. She was his. The way her own hands had started their own explorations had confirmed it. She was smiling contentedly, looking the most beautiful that he'd seen her look since he'd brought her back here, to his home. "So, why me?" Sean asked, curious.
"I could ask you the same," Peg giggled.
"Because I wanted you, and you wanted me," Sean said with a smile. "It's easy when you're a lion. Loving beautiful and smart women is just one of our better skills. But I'm curious as to why you chose me. I haven't exactly been nice to you." Peg kissed his chest.
"Actually, you've been very nice to me. You did what you could to help. And you did it for no reason other than I needed it. But as to why you?"
Peg drew a finger down his chest. Sean really was very well built, she had noticed.
"The wolves, they don't really understand me. Yes, my vixen did convince me to unwind and try and find solace in the arms of one. And I quickly realized I wasn't going to find it there. Same for the second one I tried. Then I thought about you, and when you came back here yesterday, and I came down here to spend time watching you, I just knew. You were a magic user, like me. You understood what it's like to become changed, and..."
Peg giggled.
"You're a big, sexy brute of a man and a lion. I remember what you looked like when you came into the room, when you killed Roger."
Peg shivered then.
"Tough, big, dangerous, strong. I've seen your wives. Not a one of them doesn't smile when you walk into the room. I wanted that, Sean, and I wanted you. I want the biggest, toughest guy around. I want the guy who isn't above trying to help some stupid young girl who's crying about dumb things. I want a man who makes me smile just by walking into the room. And now that I've actually had sex with you?"
Peg sighed happily.
"Damn, that was good."
"What about your vixen?" Sean asked, running a hand down her back and enjoying the feeling of her sweat-slicked skin under his fingers.
"She's been pushing me to go after you since the moment the thought first crossed my mind,"
Peg admitted with a soft chuckle.
"She's also pretty hot for you."
Sean nodded, and sitting up, he gathered her up into his arms, and shifting into his hybrid form, he got to his feet.
"What are you doing?" Peg asked.
"Taking you upstairs to our bedroom, where it's a little more comfortable," Sean purred.
"But I'm naked,"
Peg gasped. "Yup, and everyone is about to learn just who you belong to now," Sean chuckled.
"Lions,"
Peg sighed, but Sean could see she was smiling.
"Yeah, I've been hearing that a lot lately," he agreed with a grin. Preparations.
"Thanks for loaning us the helicopter, Mom,"
Max said over the headset as they flew over Reno.
"Yes, thanks. We really appreciate it," Chad said, looking out the side of the helicopter while taking pictures with his camera.
"What are you looking for, anyway?"
Claudia asked.
"Whatever we can see," Chad said. "According to what Sean and the others told me, Harkins lost a lot of people during the assault on the guild a few nights ago. Well, if he's worried about being attacked at any moment, I'd expect to see all of his forces on alert and deployed on his property."
"You know he can just mask what you see with magic," Claudia pointed out.
"That's why I'm here,"
Jolene said over the headset, and she looked out the window as well. Only she had a paper and pencil, and she was making detailed notes on what she was seeing and where.
"I'm going to compare what I see with the pictures Chad is taking. The plans we have are nice, but they lack landmarks."
"Ah,"
Claudia nodded.
"Don't circle," Chad told the pilot. "I don't want them to get suspicious. Keep flying west. We'll make a second pass in a few minutes on our way back."
"Roger,"
the pilot said, and flew them on out of sight.
"You know, these helicopters you've got, they're really giving me ideas," Chad said, sitting back up and turning to look at Claudia.
"What kind of ideas?"
Claudia asked.
"They're going to be expecting a ground attack, so when we launch ours, I'm sure they'll quickly deploy to counter us. Once they're all in position to repulse us, an airborne assault would definitely take them by surprise."
"These things aren't exactly quiet or stealthy, you know,"
Claudia replied. Chad laughed.
"How much do you want to bet that I can get the Sorcerer's Guild to come down and cast some high-powered silent spells on them? Hell, I'd bet they'd be willing to even come along and maintain the spells if necessary, after what Harkins' goons did to them last weekend."
Claudia dipped her head towards him, conceding the point.
"So, just how much damage are you planning on doing?"
Claudia asked instead.
"As much as we have to, and not a bit more," Chad told her. "Sean told me that the only goal of this is to get the Lycans out. He's worried that Harkins might try killing them all when we show up. That he might have some kind of dead man switch scenario set up. Honestly, I'm worried about that as well, because if there is one, we'll have to launch an attack to take that out first. If we find out that there isn't something set up, then we'll just make a feint against the main building. While that's going on, the real forces will be neutralizing the Lycans and getting the silver out of them. Then, hauling them off."
"Either way, that doesn't sound easy."
Chad nodded.
"It won't be. But we're going to kidnap a few today, pump their brains, then maybe send them back to let the others know what's going on. Then we'll spend tonight and tomorrow practicing and hit them Thursday night."
"Sounds ambitious,"
Claudia warned him. Chad nodded.
"I've already told Sean to expect casualties. Harkins' people are merciless and complete bastards. But if we wait too long, we risk having Harkins spend even more of his Lycans' lives on whatever other targets he decided to pursue. Honestly, I'm surprised he hasn't just killed them all off already, out of spite to piss off Sean."
"He can't,"
Claudia told him.
"Why can't he?"
"Because Vestibulum is just itching for the chance to go in there and wipe him out."
"Huh. I didn't realize that they were bad guys, too,"
Chad replied.
"Not many do,"
Claudia sighed in response.
"Well, let's make our second pass and go back and land. I still want to check in with Sawyer today and see if he has anything new for us."
"Okay."
Sal looked out of the window of the delivery van that he'd borrowed. He made a couple of passes on the place, and it hadn't taken him long to notice the security cameras that had been set up on the place. Someone had taken the time and money to do a first-rate job, and Sal didn't doubt that there were probably people with guns inside who were equally first-rate. The strike on the Gradatin compound had shown everyone willing to pay attention that the kid wasn't afraid to use force, and while no one else seemed to be thinking about the wolves that had all disappeared from the Gradatin compound, Sal was willing to bet that they were all living in that building now. Walking down the street past the place yesterday, his nose had easily confirmed it. So his problem was simple. Not to hang out around the place enough that someone started to wonder about the guy in the overcoat and the fedora who's suddenly become a fixture in the area. So he'd procured his van and set up the back to be comfortable for a little while, on the next street over and out of sight of the building. Earlier this morning, he'd taken the time to set up two cameras of his own to watch the building. Both were far enough away so as to not easily be discovered, but of high enough quality for him to get an idea of who was coming and going from the place. Sitting down with his laptop, he opened up two different windows to watch the feeds from the cameras while eating his lunch. He needed to start thinking about his next step once he'd found for sure where the kid was. Harkins still wanted him alive and had offered him a bonus for just that. But if he couldn't get the kid alive, then Harkins definitely wanted him dead. Sal was tempted just to go for the kill option and the hell with the bonus. The more he was starting to learn from the people he'd been talking to around town, the more he was starting to think that grabbing this kid wasn't going to be easy. But Sal prided himself on his abilities, and the idea of bringing the kid in alive definitely presented a challenge. The kind of challenge that had not only kept Sal still interested in this business for so many years, but which had given him the kind of money that allowed him to live the kind of lifestyle that he enjoyed. He thought about putting a camera or two on Sawyer's place as well, but there were already too many people keeping an eye on that place, and the last thing Sal wanted to do was tip off any of the others in town that he was here. He was sure that several of the council heads he'd dealt with last time were still in charge, so the last thing he wanted to do was have them spreading word around that the hyena was back in town. Taking another bite of his sandwich, he watched as another car pulled into the garage where they had the detailing shop. Nice cover, that. They could move people and stuff in and out without anyone being the wiser. If Sal had better connections in this town, he'd have someone run all the license plates to see if he could learn anything. But he didn't really have the time for that now. He was sure the kid was going to hit Harkins's place soon, and if he didn't take him down before that, then Harkins probably wasn't going to be around to pay him.
"Yo, Sawyer, what have you got for us?" Chad asked as they walked into Sawyer's shop.
"With all the people I got out there watching my place, you just had to walk in the front door?"
Sawyer said. Chad grinned.
"The problem with you, Sawyer, is that you have such little faith in the human race."
"That's because I'm not a fool,"
Sawyer replied hotly.
"Besides which, you're not a human now. You're just another one of those wolves we get running around here chasing their tails all the time."
"Before you say something that you'll regret," Chad laughed, "if you were to take the time to look outside, you'd see that Reno's finest are currently conducting a sweep of the industrial park looking for vagrants, druggies, and anyone else who doesn't belong here. All of your watchers, and I do mean all, are currently occupied with other concerns."
"How'd you manage that?"
Sawyer blinked, looking surprised. He didn't bother to go check. Chad was looking away, too smug to be making it up. And he probably already had a couple of insults lined up if Sawyer didn't just take him at his word.
"What, you think I'm not above calling my friend up and asking if he could tell his father-in-law that I need a little favor?"
"He's not the sheriff here."
"No, but he is still on that terrorism task force, and they apparently needed a good training drill. Rumor has it that there's going to be a really big training drill going off any night now." Chad smiled. "Of course, I could just reschedule that drill if you don't have any interesting news for me that I might enjoy hearing."
"You'd use your own friendship so crudely?"
Sawyer laughed. Jolene snorted.
This from the man who'd use his own mother to make a buck.
"Now, now, Strumpet. There's nothing crude about making money."
"Strumpet?" Chad laughed.
"Anything worse and he's afraid Sean will rip his arms off. You should have heard the things he used to say to me."
Jolene grinned.
"Well, as much as I'd like to enjoy that stroll down memory lane,"
Sawyer grumbled,
"I really don't have a lot to tell you. Sapientia is still carrying on like they haven't a care in the world, but the rumor going around now is that they're cutting costs big time and just letting a lot of their lichens go."
"Yeah, we know about that one," Chad nodded.
"And you didn't see fit to share it with me?"
Sawyer growled, glaring at him. Chad smiled.
"I'm telling you now, ain't I? Seems that someone talked them into doing a cost-benefit analysis, and they realized that some traditions are just too expensive to hold on to."
"What, your friend Sean threatened to make them pay?"
Sawyer said sarcastically.
"Actually," Jolene butted in, Joseph Harrison showed Arthur his finances. It's kind of hard to be the Council of Wisdom while pissing away large sums of money.
She grinned. Sawyer snorted.
Well, at least somebody knows what's important. As for the Vesties, they're up to something. They've been pretty quiet suddenly. They've pulled all their people in. I don't know if they're worried about the Ascendants pulling something on them, like they did on the Guild, or if they're worried about your boyfriend there, Jolene.
And the Ascendants?
Rumor has it that they're starting to stress over all this constant readiness that they've been under since the weekend.
Sawyer snorted.
It's only been 3 days and already they're whining.
What about the people they lost at the Guild? Chad asked. Has that affected them at all?
Well, they weren't anyone important as far as I can tell, so I don't think so.
How are the tags selling? Jolene asked.
Oh, I just got the auction running last night. We got some big shot from Chicago out here yesterday who wanted one. Apparently word got out on the auction. So I had to get my web designer to make some changes to the program.
Why is that?
'Cause we're gonna take him for every dollar we can squeeze out of him.
Sawyer laughed.
Hey, Marks, Jolene called. I thought you were going to rein him in on those.
Not that guy, Mark said from over by the front door. That guy is going to pay.
Why's that?
Max asked.
He's a mobster. Makes his living off of other people's misery. Guys like that. Sawyer can take them for every cent they've got, far as I care.
Well, if it's okay with Marks, I'm not gonna complain, Jolene said to Max. He's like the closest thing Sawyer has to a conscience.
That's pretty rich coming from you, Jolene,
Sawyer laughed. Jolene shook her head.
I don't think I'll ever get used to that.
Used to what?
Max asked.
Him calling me by my name instead of calling me a slut all the time.
Jolene smirked.
Yeah, well, I'm too attached to my arms to go pissing off your boyfriend,
Sawyer grumbled.
Besides, the kid's making me rich, and I got lots of respect for anybody who makes me that kind of money.
Cat and Mouse. Sean stretched and yawned, then leaned back against his chair. He'd spent hours today working on the machine, though why at this point he really wasn't sure. Now that he knew how to dump excess energy into the ground, making tags and collars had just become a whole lot safer. With Peg's help and under Roxy's watchful eye, he'd made 50 of each this morning, then dismissed them to go deal with any prep work for tonight that needed to be done. Sean wanted to improve the armor and protection on all of his people, as well as any that would be regularly helping him. But rather than build stuff the long, usual way, he had set the girls to seeing what they could beg, borrow, or buy, so that he could then just study it and make a tarball of the spells involved and put them on something more suitable. Other than the firewall spell, which had the side effect of blocking any attacks that went after the mind or its control over the body, he hadn't come up with anything all that earth-shaking. He needed to work on that. Thankfully, Peg had seemed to fit right in with the girls. Roxy liked her because she was a Lycan like her, and as Peg was both new to it and younger, being only 19, Roxy had latched onto her like a younger sister. Well, almost a younger sister, Sean snorted, thinking about last night. Jolene and Peg had connected on their both being magic users, and surprisingly, Peg was a lot more receptive to the idea of helping Jolene recharge her powers than Daylan was. In fact, Peg was a lot more receptive to a number of things that Jolene was already doing with Roxy. Apparently, though looking back now, Sean had to admit it should have been obvious, Sheila and Peg had been sleeping together long before Sheila had infected Peg. That was why Sheila had wanted him to save her. Well, not full-blown lovers. They'd definitely been just more than friends with benefits. Even Daylan had a soft spot for Peg, because she understood the issues of being a social pariah. From when she'd become both an orphan and freak, from growing up to be taller than was considered acceptable for a dwarven woman. So it was settling down to just be one, now slightly larger, but still happy, family.
Though Roxy and Jolene had teased him quite a bit over dinner last night and then breakfast this morning about allowing him yet another wife, they'd both then rather loudly speculated on what he should be looking for in a fifth. Or maybe that was sixth now? Finishing up the locking spells on the gold plate, Sean really needed to go stretch his legs a bit. Getting up and heading upstairs, he went and grabbed his coat and hat.
"Where are you going?"
Peg asked, looking up from the laptop where she'd been working on his webpage. Apparently, Peg had a bit of a flair for writing, and he'd shown her how to do his Facebook page updates and turned her loose on a WYSIWYG webpage program to work on their website. "I need to go for a walk. Want to come? Maybe we can sneak down to the park and let our animals out to run for a bit."
"Oh, that sounds good,"
Peg said, and jumping up, she grabbed her own coat and followed Sean back down into the basement.
"Why are we going down here?"
Peg asked. "I don't like using our front door," Sean admitted. "Sooner or later, someone's going to be watching it, so we'll just take the tunnel over to Steve's place and sneak out the back. That way, if anyone is watching the building, they won't see me."
"You think someone's watching the building for us?"
Sean shrugged. "Oak and Demon have been keeping tabs on the area, and nothing has shown up yet, but sooner or later, I'm thinking someone will."
"So, better safe than sorry?"
Sean nodded and led her down the tunnel. The tunnel itself was rather well made for all that it had been built in about a week. Obviously, dwarves knew their jobs when it came to building one. It had a smooth and level floor, was dry inside, and had low-power LED lighting that was tinted red so it wouldn't mess with your night vision. It was actually wide enough for two people to easily walk side by side. So pulling Peg up against him and putting an arm around her, he did just that.
"Is somebody needy?"
Peg teased, putting her arm around him and leaning against him. She had noticed Sean wasn't shy about his feelings, and neither were the other girls. "I just like my women knowing how I feel about them," Sean chuckled.
"Mm-hmm."
"Any complaints?" Sean asked.
"I'll let you know if I can think of one,"
Peg grinned. While she had to admit that this whole situation was kind of strange, Sean's feelings were pretty clear, and her sister wives, or other members of the pride, as Roxy had put it, all seemed to be fairly happy with the situation, and each other as well. All she knew was that last night had worked for her, and Roxy, Jolene, and Daylin had treated her a lot better than her own sister ever had. The tunnel ended underneath a small concrete addition that had been built on the back of Steve's shop. There was a staircase that came up into it, and a locked security door that led outside, keeping it separate from the shop, so no one could accidentally end up inside the tunnel. Going out the door, they both zipped up their coats. It was already after sunset, and it was definitely going to be a cold and breezy one tonight. Putting his arm back round Peg and nodding to the security guard, they cut through the back of the property coming out onto the street that ran behind the shop.
"I don't know about going for a run,"
Peg said as they walked past a van parked on the side of the road.
"Feels a bit cold for that tonight."
"Yeah, you may be right. Maybe just a trip to the burger place and back."
"Is that all you ever do is eat?"
Peg teased. "Us lions are good at three things. Eating, sleeping, and actually I don't seem to get to sleep all that much these days," Sean laughed as Peg leaned into him.
"Just be happy that we let you eat,"
Peg giggled. Sean hugged her a little closer. Peg had definitely come to terms with her life and become a lot happier in the last few days. Just then, the wind shifted, and an unfamiliar scent blew by. Sal was sitting in the back of the van, debating how late he was going to stay here tonight. The temperature had dropped quite a bit in the last hour, and it was going to be a cold one. He could just as easily watch the feeds from back in the warmth of his hotel room, though honestly, he didn't really expect to see anyone out on a cold night like tonight. A couple of vans had left the building earlier and hadn't come back yet. If anything, Sean was probably in one of those. Looking up, he heard a couple talking as they walked by the van, bundled up against the cold and leaning into each other. Sal almost had to smile at that, remembering some enjoyable strolls with girlfriends back when he was a young man.
"Where'd they come from?"
This was mostly an industrial area, and while people did cut through to go to one of the casinos nearby, on a cold night like tonight, who'd want to make that kind of a walk? Sal didn't check the cameras he had set up on the van very often. They were only there for his own protection, as this wasn't the street that the kid's building was on. Opening up the window with the van's rear camera, he ran it in reverse at 10 times speed and watched as they popped out of an alleyway between two shops. Letting it run forward, he waited until they were almost up to the van, and pausing it, he swore. It was Sean Valence. Somehow the kid was getting in and out of the building without being seen. But there he was, and right now Sal wasn't going to look a gift horse like this in the mouth. Checking his gear quickly, he opened the back door of the van carefully, and then, slipping out the back, he closed it as quietly as he could. Peeking around the side, he could see them about 50 yards away. They weren't exactly walking fast. Quickly ducking over to the other side of the street, where he'd be less obvious, Sal started to trail them, moving up a little closer. This street was nice and empty, no traffic, no open business for at least another 1,000 yards. He started looking for the best place to plan his ambush. He had a couple of high-powered wands that he could use to paralyze and cripple the both of them. He wasn't too worried about the girl. As long as she was out of commission long enough for him to grab the kid and go, that was fine. He'd have to use the big guns on the kid, though. He wanted him restrained long enough to get a needle into him with a couple of those elephant tranquilizers he'd used in the past with rather marked success. Then he'd tie the kid up tight enough that he couldn't shift. Then it was simply deliver the package, get paid, and go home. Sal shivered a bit in the cold. Well, maybe not home. Maybe Florida for a few weeks. Sean felt his lion sit up and take note. What? Sean asked.
Hyena.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Sean asked.
I've never been a fan of them. Remember Chad said a lichen came in looking for you that he couldn't identify?
Shit.
Sean swore to himself as another thought crossed his mind. Exactly, his lion agreed, reading Sean's mind.
What's wrong?
Peg asked, as she felt Sean stiffen against her as they walked. There's a hyena around here.
So?
The hitman they hired to kill my father was a hyena, Sean growled.
Peg shivered and readied a couple of defensive spells just in case.
What are we going to do?
She asked him. I don't want you to have any part in this, Sean whispered as they walked.
I'm your wife now, Sean,
Peg growled. She'd just gotten him. She wasn't about to lose him.
This is between me and him, and I don't want to have to worry about him hurting you, Sean said. Sean?
Peg started. Sean gave her a squeeze and lowered his voice.
Hon, you don't get to argue with me about this. Understand?
Peg shivered, and it wasn't from the cold or with fear. She felt it. Her vixen felt it. Sean, her Sean, was pissed. And her lion was about to open up a world of hurt on somebody, and maybe, just maybe, it would be best not to be around while he was doing it. Though honestly, the idea of watching did excite her just a little bit. Just as long as it was from a nice, safe distance.
What? What do you want me to do?
Peg asked.
Exactly what I tell you to do, Sean said. Then once he and I are both away from here, go back home and tell them I may be a little late to the meeting tonight, but the attack is still on.
Peg nodded. Sean called up his monitor program and his own defensive framework spells as well, then shifted Peg over to the other side of him, keeping himself between her and where he suspected the attack would come from, as they continued to walk along.
When he attacks, Sean whispered, run in the opposite direction he comes from. Keep me between you and him as long as you can, then duck out of sight between the buildings. I don't want him getting a clear shot at you.
Are you sure?
Peg asked. While she liked the idea of running away, face-to-face confrontations had never been her forte, she didn't like the idea of abandoning her mate. She would have laughed at that thought if things weren't so dire.
She'd finally found someone that she'd actually take a risk for. Imagine that. Sal had finally realized that there weren't any places better than just here and now. The street was empty, and it wasn't going to get any emptier. Moving in closer,